Life Happens, weekdays, 1 to 3 p.m. You are listening to KG Mwekezi on SAFM.
Welcome back. It's 2:38 on SAFM. So last week, President Cyril Ramaphosa announced that, we are moving to a tougher lockdown, which is the one that we're in now, level 4. And the Delta variant, of course, is now the leading cause of the current infections in the country. And antibody surveys are now showing immune responses that persist 1 year after infection. And that suggests that those who were infected have developed sort of long-term immunity to COVID-19 and raises hopes that vaccines can help those who were not infected to do the same. What does that mean in simple English? We invite Professor Bertram Fielding, virologist, director of research and development at the University of the Western Cape. So what does that mean, Prof, in English?
Good afternoon, KG.
Good afternoon.
We've known for a while. Just 2 or 3 months ago, there were reports that said those who were naturally infected with SARS-CoV-2, so those who had naturally acquired COVID-19, mm-hmm. had antibodies up to 9 months later. Now these studies are saying, we're looking a year later and there are still antibodies.
Yeah.
Very often these are tested in the lab, and very often the reports are saying that the antibodies are not very effective against the new variants because these viruses mutate all the time. These researchers are now saying, be careful, because when you are testing these antibodies, do not test the spike protein antibody only. That is the one that is also very important for our vaccines. They are saying, look at other proteins and their antibodies that they stimulate as well. Because this virus has 29 proteins,
yeah,
and many, many of these will stimulate your immune system as well. To give you an idea, spike protein, the one that we're targeting with the vaccines, it is not the strongest stimulator of the immune response. One of the other proteins are. So does this mean that if we are naturally infected, and we know now a year later that we are still having antibodies, does that mean that we are still protected even against the variants? Those are the type of questions that are being answered now. And it is very similar to questions we've been asking since the 1960s with the other coronaviruses. And it differs from person to person. For those common cold viruses, one person, two people can be infected 3-4 times per year, very often by the same coronavirus. Others, 2 to 3, 4, 5 years later, they can still be protected. Those are the type of questions we are trying to answer now.
Okay. We have some voice notes, and I think there's people who want to ask questions, because earlier on we had a conversation about teachers who are scared, at least here in Gauteng, to get the vaccine, because we know that the fake news media is happening and it's working, and a lot of people are scared. So let's hear these voice notes, and then you can respond to them, Prof.
Sure.
Hi, SAFM. This is Bo from KZN. I'd like to know, I've heard that this vaccine is a trial vaccine. So what does that mean? Is this vaccine safe for people to take? And how safe is it?
Hi, I'm Lungaya from the Western Cape. I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, and I also like sci-fi movies. When it comes to the vaccine, I'm not in a rush to get it. There isn't enough data, in my opinion. Secondly, people are worried about short-term symptoms. I mean, if you watched a show popped in my mind where people had taken something, and effectively that basically dropped their fertility. And it was the end of the world. No one was having kids. So the information that we've been given isn't enough, in my opinion. Anyway, thanks.
Okay.
Good afternoon, KG. Anonymous here. Why should teachers and everybody else, for that matter, be persuaded to take a vaccine that no one can boldly say it protects you against this infection? What's the point of taking it?
So, I'm laughing, but in earnest, Prof, they want to be persuaded, and somebody spoke of a trial vaccine. I'm not sure which one is trial, because there's a variety of vaccines on the market. And then, the conspiracy theorists are there, and they want data. In fact, they almost want 100% efficacy of the vaccine. What is your response to all these voice notes?
KG, I'm a lover of conspiracy theories as well, trust me. My family knows this. They know this about me. And that's why each one of these conspiracy theories I investigate. All of your callers have very valid, very real concerns. And we do have scientific answers for them. All of the vaccines currently are between inverted commas, still in trial phases, so they face 3B trials. All of the vaccines globally have been approved for emergency use, not for full use. And they all have been approved to minimize hospitalizations and deaths. And that links very nicely with the third caller. So why are we meant to take it? Yes, you look at global data, it seems for all of these vaccines, about 50% of people still become infected and still spread the virus. But what is the important thing that we should not lose focus of? All of the vaccines thus far, when they are used in individuals that are high risk of developing severe COVID, mortality, so death, hospitalization, and severe COVID, decreases by more than 90%. And that's the reason we need to take it.
And it's that's about, the persuasion, isn't it? Because
it's not about the younger people. KJ, and I've always said there are pros and there are cons.
Yeah.
And, I've discovered, I've done some town hall meetings with people where exactly the same questions come up.
Yeah.
And I've realized, give people the pros and the cons, the positives and the negatives. Your second caller is correct. We've been studying these vaccines now for 8-9 months only. We do not know what the long-term effects are. However, if you look at the science behind it, we do not expect severe long-term side effects. What are the short-term amazing effects? People's lives are being saved. And that's why I've been saying since June last year, the vaccines, we should not be aiming to vaccinate everybody. Vaccinate those who are at high risk of developing severe COVID, ending up in hospital and dying. And that's what these vaccines are not doing.
Yeah.
So to recap, it would be 55 and above with comorbidities. The more comorbidities, the more sicknesses you have, the greater your chance of ending up in hospital and dying.
Yeah.
For younger people, if you have comorbidities, take the vaccine. If you are taking care of somebody that is high risk and they cannot take the vaccine, you take the vaccine. It's about minimizing the spread and protecting high-risk individuals.
Yeah. The truth, though, is the infections are continuing to rise. And you repeat a point that you also made, Prof, last week about the fact that in earnest, we probably might never really reach herd immunity, right? And last week you said, the most important thing is behavioral change. Is that still your stance, clearly, this week?
It is still my stance. I was asked this weekend by somebody that does not want to take the vaccine as well. Is this going to become the new normal? Are we going to live with masks forever? And I said, no. Look at what's happening in Europe at the moment. In Europe, people are now getting together, and there are numbers that are increasing.
We're watching them on the Euro 2020.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So the numbers increasing. I've always said I'm not concerned about numbers increasing. I'm concerned about those who end up in hospital and who die.
Yeah.
As soon as you're vaccinated, that really, really, really drops to very, very low numbers.
And when we talk of, 50 plus and extreme comorbidities, which kind of comorbidities are we specifically talking about?
And that's a very good question. I just looked at that data today again because I'm getting asked a question frequently. So it seems as though it's anything to do with the lungs.
Yeah.
Because, this thing does affect breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Kidneys. So have your kidneys checked, have your heart checked. But you know what? The one that we're neglecting globally. And very often I am asked the question, but why are healthy young people now dying as well?
Yes.
They're not dying in higher percentages. But more of them are becoming ill because of Delta spreading faster.
Mm-hmm.
But ask yourself the question, were those people obese? So it seems as if, even if you speak to doctors, obesity is becoming one of the leading comorbidities when it comes to hospitalizations and deaths worldwide.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people seem to want to hear the word 100%, it prevents you from getting it 100%, but none of the vaccines do that.
KG, we every year we motivate people to take the influenza vaccine every year globally. And I think this is an underestimation. With the vaccine for flu, with the drugs we have for flu, Tamiflu and the likes, we still have about 750,000 people dying globally of flu every year.
Even after they've taken the vaccine?
Even with all of the interventions that we have. So no drug is foolproof, and we need to remember that. It's not about, we cannot stop the spread of this virus. We can minimize the spread. And even then, for me, I think I said last week, I told you, I'm speculating this virus will be with us for a very long time.
Mm.
It's going to become one of the circulating coronaviruses. So we're going to learn to live with it.
Yeah.
And it is really about how do we minimize the deaths every year by minimizing the spread of this. We're not going to be able to stop the spread of this virus.
And
the Delta variant is showing us that.
And Prof, lastly though, the word data, how much data is available, tends to come up. How much data can we have when we've only known this virus for a really short time?
And that's why I always said, anybody who tells you they are a COVID or a SARS coronavirus 2 expert, be very careful, because we cannot become experts in 18 months.
Yeah, it's something we don't know.
It is. We are basing much of what we're doing currently on work done on the previous coronaviruses. So, for instance, much of what I'm saying is, yes, data now, and it is confirmation of the work that we did in 2003 on SARS.
Yeah.
And so history is very important in this fight, and we need to learn from history. That is extremely interesting, because we're going to have more variants. These viruses mutate, and they're competing against each other in your body.
Variants.
To find the best mutated virus that gives it a competitive advantage in your body. So they will always mutate.
Let's leave it there, and we'll talk to you again next week. Hopefully there will be some data that the 7-day period between now and next week will have given us. But you're right, it's constantly mutating. But we appreciate your time, Prof.
Thank you, KJ. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Prof. Thank you. Prof. Bertram Fielding is a virologist, director of research and development at the University of the Western Cape. You want to know something? I'm getting the jab. It's 2:51.